Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we pause this morning, let us remember your word and where our freedom comes from. Remind us once again of your words that you spoke. You spoke many years ago. Lord God, they still set us free. In your son's name we pray. Amen. So this morning, we're going on this journey and asking one thing out of our lesson. What's the one thing that we can take away? And so on this morning, I would ask you to get out, find your gospel reading on the back of your worship bulletin. I just want to ask this one main question, What is on this journey? That's the one thing I want to ask, because it is a question and a statement all in the same time. What is on this journey? And so a couple of things, if you would, grab a pen. I want you to underline, circle, or if you have a highlighter, I want you to highlight a couple of words for me. In verse 22 and 23, it reads, "Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live.'" I want you to underline, if you would, "Seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly." Why is that important? Because that's step one on this guy's journey. He sought out Jesus, and in hearing what Jesus had done, he said, maybe, just maybe, there's a chance that my little daughter will live. And so as we see on this journey, he gets a little sidetracked, doesn't he? On the way there, can you imagine just being around Jesus, hearing what he's talking with others, and then just out of the blue, all of a sudden, he stops and says, Who touched me? I felt healing come out of me. And so, very interesting is the next part I want you guys to underline is, while he was still speaking, in verse 35, while he was still speaking, and then in verse 36, but overhearing. Here we get a glimpse that this ruler, Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, a guy who knew Scripture, had heard it over and over again. And he's on this journey with Jesus on the way home. He's almost there. And he has this miraculous thing done while he was still speaking. While Jesus was still speaking, the bad news comes, your daughter is dead. And yet, overhearing, Jesus turns to him and says, we're still on this journey together. We still need to keep going. And so, interesting enough is, what is Jesus doing? We see almost two separate instances, but at the same time, while he was still speaking, and overhearing what they said, as if to say, as if to tell us that this ruler of the synagogue, who is trying to get Jesus to come to him and heal his child, he's right here. He's right here. He's seen the miraculous. All of a sudden, poof, all the hope that he has just empties. Your daughter is dead. Your daughter is dead. Don't worry. Don't trouble. Don't trouble the teacher anymore. Don't worry about it. My daughter is dead. There's nothing you can do. And Jesus says, did you not see what just happened? Did you not hear my words? Did you not hear of this person's faith that even though she just touched me, she was healed? And so Jesus goes along. And do you ever notice that? You ever notice what Jesus does? Because in other instances, in the instance of the centurion where he had a servant who was ill, and he just says, just tell my servant, even though you're not even in the same zip code, just tell my servant to be healed and it will be done. I have that much faith in you. No, this synagogue ruler, this Jew, comes up to Jesus and says, would you please touch her? Please touch her. He didn't ask, just say the word. He says, would you please touch her? Do you notice what Jesus does? Do you notice what Jesus does? Jesus goes along with him on this journey. He keeps walking with him. He asked Jesus, would you please touch her? That's what he asked. Dead or alive, he asked her to touch her. Not just say the words. Will you please come and make contact? Come and make contact with my daughter. That's all you need to do. And she will be healed. And so do you notice that when he goes to the house, he reassures everyone, she's not sleeping. She's not. She's going to be made alive here in a little bit. She's not dead. There's a difference between waking up in the morning There's a difference. And so we see that Jesus is taking Jairus into the room. He's still walking with him on this journey. And he's still saying to him, don't be afraid at what you see. Don't be afraid of what is before you. He says, just have faith. Just have faith. And literally, that's the problem, isn't it? That's the problem. That's too much that has been heaped on his faith in order for him to say, you know what? It doesn't matter what I see before me. It doesn't matter the condition of my daughter. It doesn't matter if she's breathing or not. I still have the faith. I've just seen a woman be healed. There's still a chance. So Jesus goes into the room. What does Jairus ask of Jesus? Simply, go to my daughter and... Oh, good, you were listening. So just go to my daughter and touch her. Look at her gospel reading. Look at her gospel reading. Look what it says. Look what it says. Verse 41, let's read this together. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, what did Jesus do? He did exactly what this man asked of him. He went and touched her by the hand. He did exactly what this man asked of him. And all Jesus says, all I want you to do is remove your fear. Remove all the things that have been piling on. Just have faith. Just have faith. You've seen the miraculous things. But more than that, I want you to listen to the words that are coming out of my mouth. Do not fear. Just simply believe. And so this morning, I really want to ask you the question that is this. What's on this journey? What's on this journey? Because we have just gone through and heard about this synagogue ruler. And we looked at his journey, just a small journey. We don't know what happens afterwards. We almost never do. But the question is, what's on the journey? What's on the journey? This one point I want to make to you, what's on the journey? What's on the journey? Because sometimes there are things that can pile up in our lives so much so that it's difficult to just simply take away some of the things that we have heaped on our schedules, heaped on our families, and heaped on everything else in order that just, I don't know when I'm going to have time to listen, Lord. I want to pray. I want to seek out your word. But it's so difficult because I have so much to do. And the Lord says,
Just believe. Do not fear, just believe. But Lord God, there are so many other things. Do you not understand? I have so much in my mind. Where is my health going? What is happening inside my body, Lord? I don't understand. This is taking over my life. And the Lord says, do not fear. Just believe. Lord God, that's hard in an age like this. It's hard to do that because I've got so many other things. Just do not fear. Just believe. Lord God, my spouse of 60 years is dying, and I don't know what life is going to be like without them. The Lord says, do not fear. Only, folks, this is not the end. If we think that this is the end, then all the miracles, what are they for? What are they for? Why did Jesus do the miraculous things he did? He did them in order that people would see his power over sin, death, and the devil. He wanted to give people hope for something to come. And so I want to ask you this. Whether we're healed or not healed, whether we live to be 100 or whether we live to be simply 20, if this life is all there is to it, then where's the hope? And so when I say that Jesus came for something different, for something even more, for something in order to give his words to say, do not fear, only the belief was in something even greater, something even more than that, something to a place in which Jesus says, I have come to take you with me. The mansions of which you have never, ever seen the likes. If I could just open up heaven and show you what heaven is really like, you would want to be there. You wouldn't want to be here. And so as we were reminded that heaven is our place, that when he says, do not fear, only, he is talking about a faith that culminates in a place. And so we want to remember here this morning that as we go on this journey, there will be sin, there will be disease, there will be distrust, broken friendships, broken marriages, broken lives. Jesus meets them head on. Do not fear, only. That's difficult, it isn't. It's difficult, Lord, because I want to heap on things, Lord, that get in the way. And it is difficult when I see things and they're not what the Lord has for me. When I see what's happening in the world, it's discouraging. When I see things that are happening, Lord God, and he has to say to me, do not fear, only. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you came to us with simple words. Do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear. Lord God, you knew that each one of us, Lord, was going through a battle each and every day. Lord God, even as we go on this journey, we ask you to continue to go with us, Lord, each and every step, because we can only overcome by your word, by your name. Lord God, when the world seems to be crashing down, Lord God, just remind us each and every day that we are not to fear, to believe that in your name is power. Not simply because of the miracles that you did while you were here, but Lord God, because of the miracle you did on the cross, because of your words that announced to us that our suffering, Lord, is only on this world. that your resurrection, Lord, was to remind us that, Lord God, our heavenly home awaits us, Lord God. And as we go through this journey, Lord, we thank you that as you go with us, Lord God, may we give strength to those who need strength. Lord God, may we walk beside those who need an encouraging word. Do not fear. This is from the Lord. Lord God, Heavenly Father, on this journey, go with us each and every day. That, Lord God, we see that by your footsteps subside, Lord God, we can continue. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.